Podcast Uncle. It's now Spain Holland. 20 minutes in. 26 minutes in. Penny or no penny?
No pen.
Right.
More
of a pen than Fred.
Liverpool 2.
Tom. Xavi Alonso. It's gone in.
Xavi Alonso tucks in the bottom left hand corner. Good penalty to be fair.
I'm surprised Alonso took it, to be honest.
I'd have thought Costa would have wanted that, but
yeah. Right, Tom, as a podcast regular,
I've seen it. He's not beaten twice. No, it didn't look like a penalty.
No.
At
all.
Ah, Chris?
No.
No,
no, it's not.
It was not a penalty.
It's a dive. 2 days, two penalties that were never penalties.
He's done well. He's conned the ref, and we've seen already in this tournament that Fred has conned the ref.
I think, on the first reflection, I think we all thought it was a penalty. Then you see the replay.
Again, another angle, not a pen, mate. Dive. That's another clanger from a referee, World Cup 2004.
I'll tell you what.
It's only the second, third game.
I know.
The way this World Cup is going, in all seriousness, Roy Hodgson needs to call up Tom Daly right now. Because we've seen two dives, both of them
given. We're doing all right, weren't we?
Both of them given, both of them scored.
See, I'm still not
and,
convinced
on that. That's a disgraceful decision. It's a shocking penalty.
Right, okay, a question to the group of, there's about 10 of us.
We need actually an ambulance.
Tomorrow night, if Sturridge went down under that challenge, would you be calling for a penalty?
Yes.
Be honest.
We wouldn't necessarily.
No. Fucking fairness as a fan. You can't hassle other people and then think that fairness doesn't count when you're supporting your team. It's bollocks.
I totally agree with you. And in the interest of fairness, if other countries are getting decisions like that, then so should England. So that should be a penalty kick.
I'd be calling for it, but I would not be agreeing with it.
Say that again. You'd be calling
for it, but not be agreeing with it.
Exactly. I think you always look at the referees at these sort of tournaments. I thought the Japanese referee in the first game had a great first half. The second half, someone slipped him an envelope, and he's lent on the home team, and he's given them a box of tricks. I'm not saying that that's gone on, but that sets the tone for the refereeing for the rest of the tournament.
Yeah.
If there are soft fouls, in the box, penalty's going to get given all day long now.
Howard Webb would have waved that off.
He would have shook his head and waved it off.
Howard Webb would have given him three yellow cards. Because that's what English refs do. The thing here is, right, referees give what they think they see, right? The ref thought he saw a foul, right? He got it wrong, right? He thought he saw a foul, so he gave a penalty. Just like yesterday in the opening game, Brazil versus Croatia, he thought he saw a foul, so he gave a penalty. Again, he got it wrong. The thing that needs to happen here is you can't retrospectively undo a bad decision. What you can do is retrospectively punish the players who caused that bad decision.
Shake Jim's off, right?
So the players involved need to be banned for 2 games instantly.
That's a big call.
And if they do it again, 4 games.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen because the referee's word is final. We all know that. We've been robbed so many years along the line from bad refereeing decisions. Goal technology came in to this World Cup, the first World Cup goal line technology. Who the fuck needed to see Marcelo's own goal last night on goal line technology?
We've already spoken about this. They're going to do that for every goal. They're going to show it for every goal.
Right, okay.
There we go.
It's over.
It was a goal.
Just show goal line technology for a penalty.
The thing is, when you talk about that penalty, does the Dutch manager speak to his defender about naive defending? Does the Spanish manager talk to his striker about winning that penalty? Probably the Dutch manager will speak about naive defending, but the Spanish manager will talk about being 1-0 up. So the Spanish team have won a penalty. They've deceived the ref and they're 1-0 up at half time. And that's that.
The referee judges what happens in the game. Absolutely. However, if it's proved that incident is wrong and the player is on the referee, the sanctions that come after the game don't affect the game.
game at all.
But how do you know it's a player diving or then just falling over?
If it wins him a penalty, and then basically you have a panel, and the panel looks at it and says, did that guy go down on purpose?
Yeah, but how do you know? How can you decide that?
You have a panel of ex-professional footballers.
You can't decide that totally. You cannot be 100% sure that he died.
Alright, okay.
Sorry, that versus Mark.
Here's the thing, you've got one guy who's never played a game of football.
It's been so long since that side of his career has been over.
He's got a split second to make that decision.
Exactly. So you don't change his decision. But what you do is you just look for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's an incident where it's corner. Let it go.
He might have just been slipping in that one.
If he slipped, fine.
You're saying you looked at that, he said he died.
That's my knee-jerk reaction when you watch it on the television. But if you're on a panel, you can watch it as many times as you need to. You look at the Fred one on the opening game. You say, he's had a go there, isn't he? He's had a lean back, and he's gone over, and he's asked for one. He's given it to him. In those situations where it's clear, take Rivaldo in the 2002.
Very good example.
Where the ball hit him in the shin, and he went down with the face. And he got done for that.
Let me interject. Rivaldo was a legend. After that, when I think of Rivaldo,
cunt.
You're shaking.
Yeah. Cheating cunt.
Right, you both said the C word, so
sorry,
yeah.
Sorry.
Rivaldo was a great player, but you don't think of him as a great player. You think of him.
I knew Rivaldo was a great player when United went to Barcelona. Dwight York and Andy Cole were threw everything at them, and Rivaldo came up with a hat trick that absolutely put United to the sword.
So what are you talking about?
2000. And he was a fantastic player.
Where did he go after Barcelona?
But look at he went to Greece, Olympiakos.
Exactly.
Look at your Maverick players that will do something different.
Do you know what? On that point.
The difference is, and it's been spoken this week about Maradona and Messi. Messi will never reach the heights of Maradona.
Well, he hasn't done anything
Maradona,
yet.
He's got the ability. He's as good as Maradona, but he never qualified for Argentina, and he never had that little chink in his armour that meant he would do something a little bit naughty on the football field to win the game. Like we see with Suarez, like we see with Rivaldo.
I'll tell you that, but wait. This is, if Messi does something outrageous, then it will be his tournament. Is Argentina what they second, third favourites for the world? Second.
They want it to win it. So,
yeah. Oh, well, they're winning.
Because obviously,
but you know what I mean. You are looking for a player to produce that and do that, and I don't think Messi will.
Going back to the panel stuff,
if there's contact,
you cannot.
That's more than Ronaldo.
You cannot say it's a dive. You move it to the guy. Like Fred, there was contact in the shoulder.
Yes.
So you can't say it's a dive.
Wait.
What I'm saying.
Russell would like to say something. Come in.
Clint Dempsey. Five goals at a World Cup. That's more than Ronaldo, Messi, and Rooney combined.
Five goals at the last World Cup, did he?
In before as well.
In World Cup. In World Cup.
Clint. Al Clint.
It would have been great. It would have been four if it wasn't for Robert Green.
Change his surname to Eastwood.
What about Neymar? He scored more than Jairzinho.
To be fair, last night.
Not in the World Cup, he hasn't.
How much did he
score? Jairzinho scored in every game in the World Cup.
Stop arguing. Neymar last night, how much pressure was there on that boy? How much pressure was there on that boy? He scored two goals last night.
Can I jump in there? The pressure on that game is so much more than the pressure on Neymar. The country is in financial ruin right now.
Really?
And basically, FIFA have turned up with a World Cup. They're paying no tax on anything that's happening in the World Cup.
That's Gibraltar.
Right, but imagine you've got a house party, right? And I come round to you and I say, I'll do you a house party.
In Gibraltar.
And
a monkey.
I'll come to your house, right? And you're going to pay for my airfare. You're going to pay for all my facilities. You're going to pay for my tax. You're
going to
pay for my electricity. You're going to pay for everything. I'm going to host the party, and I'm going to take all your profit, and I'm going to fuck off.
But but that's your dad owns a corner shop. Your dad owns a corner shop at the end of the street that my house party is on.
In the
so
day,
every time your lad gets a munchies or wants to go and get a crate of beer, they go to the corner shop. So the economy does thrive on you hosting that party. Although
how does that equate to FIFA?
I'm 200 lost million people in Brazil don't give a shit about that.
No.
1,000 people protest
on that.
And that gets suppressed.
All right, if Brazil were drawn or lost last night, all you would have seen on your TVs today, before these games, was carnage.
Yeah.
If they'd have drawn 1-1 last night,
media manipulation.
Which is why FIFA will make sure they get through their group. They will.
The thing with this World Cup is Brazil needs to get to the quarterfinals.
No.
Well, Andrew.
Oh, right. What do you disagree with? Andy?
No, come in.
Speak your mind. You don't agree with the fact that the referees will make sure Brazil get through their group.
It's a corrupt organisation. I don't know what stems down to the actual football.
It's not. If Brazil need a goal in the last 10 minutes of their last group game, they will get a goal.
That ruins football for me.
What I was going to say was the pressure on the Brazil team is immense because there's Brazil is expected to play the game in a beautiful way.
You expect that from them.
And to win the World Cup on home soil. The last time the World Cup was on home soil for Brazil was in 1950 and they lost to Uruguay.
Yes, they still talk about it.
They were expected to win that game. They lost in that game. A guy called Gizia scored the winner for Uruguay. A guy called Juan Schiaffino scored for Uruguay. And the goalkeeper had to go into hiding basically because of what happened in that game. He had a bad game. They lost the World Cup. It's
like
the last World Cup without a World Cup
defender in 94.
By the way, that was the last World Cup without a final. That was not a World Cup final.
Yeah,
it was a group,
that.
And that game decided the tournament. It was the last World Cup without a final. Now, we're 64 years on.
Few years on.
The heartland of football, England invented football, Brazil is the spirit of football. Now, the football's over here now.
Home football, spirit of football. That's the whole slogan they're going with.
And now, the pressure on Felipe Scolari and his team to do the business is not just beyond football, it's the government. The government accepted to have this game in their country. The pressure is on the authorities who have to keep order.
Which is why I was so impressed with Neymar. So Neymar is the pinnacle of their team.
The pressure on him is ridiculous.
And he turned up with two goals. Two goals.
Hang on a second. I think you take Oscar out of that Brazilian side.
Oh, mate, Oscar was fucking immense last night.
He was great. He was great. What I'm saying is the pressure on that team is so far and above any other team in the competition. And it's over and above that because they know that if they don't progress out of the group, or if they don't win their games in a way that they're expected to win those games, there are repercussions outside of football. Whether they're political, whether they're for protest reasons, and even if the people protesting are those that don't really care about the World Cup but want to protest,
these protests are from a minuscule part of the population. There's 200 million people in Brazil, and how many people do you see in the streets?
Yeah,
a thousand in each city. Yeah. A thousand in each city at max.
But how many
that's
of them are actually?
It doesn't mean they haven't got a point.
How many of them are mobile enough to actually vote about once the
World Cup's over?
Well, when you get the media coverage, that's what makes it bigger, obviously.
We've forgotten about it. At the end of the day, this is heightening Brazil as a tourist destination, much like the London Olympics did. London Olympics, how much tourism has come into London after the London Olympics? It's gone up millions.
Yeah.
It's been higher than it's ever been. This is what happened to Brazil, which is bringing more money to the knock-on effect. The legacy of this World Cup will be so much more than the money that's been expended by
FIFA. It doesn't mean FIFA should be able to do what they want.
Absolutely not.
And
that's
the fact that they have to enforce their own laws in the country.
That's
the you have to sign off. Their laws supersede the laws of the land.
The argument from the protesters is that the money's not being spent on local services.
And what are we arguing about? A fucking protest about money and about where the money's going.
It's part of it.
That's how sad it is. That's how sad it is.
It's part of it.
It's But it's all right.
I think the protesters are less on something. They don't see the bigger picture.
It's sad.
Because there's a lot of protests about the London Olympics. Not as much as what's going on in Brazil at the moment. But we've seen the repercussions of having the whole Olympics. We've got so much more money out of it than we could have ever imagined.
Yeah, but I think you're not comparing like with like, because
it doesn't mean the IOC should be bent and creaming everything off the top.
Absolutely not. I agree. FIFA shouldn't be taking money out of the country. I agree with that. But it happens. It's happening in every country. Every country has held a World Cup.
It still can be fixed, though. The country can still earn plenty out of it.
Brazil is an up-and-coming economy. Brazil is one of those new economies that's coming up in the world. They've got nothing to be scared of.
There are huge benefits to having activists on the streets.
Here we go.
Anarchists and activists in the streets.
It's not the representation of the full population.
I think there's a balance to be struck there. I think if you compare it to London, London is a fully developed nation, and you don't have that huge divide between poverty and opulence in, say, London. There is a divide there, no doubt about that. Compare that with Brazil, and I think a lot of the arguments that are being made are just.
But you see the people that protest. The Trump people protesting. People from the containers, they're not protesting. Well, it's activists, middle class activists, which you get in every country.
Well, I think
it's people trying to kick up a stink for no reason.
That's the thing. You've got. There are people that are intelligent enough to think of how we're thinking. There are people who will jump on a bandwagon and go with it. Absolutely. However, that's not to say that while they're jumping on it for their own sort of vehicular purposes, that doesn't mean that they haven't got a point. And I think the point is not about Brazil.
The point is about FIFA. It's about FIFA.
Look at South Africa. I think look at South Africa. And look at what went to South Africa.
What a goal! What a fucking
Robin van Persie! What a header!
Oh, I can't even
take it out. Not a good time to talk about football.
I need my dream team to come out.
Someone had him in the dream team. They took him out. That's lovely. That is lovely.
Oh, Robin van Persie.
Oh, Robin van Persie. Right, what? We're gonna watch the replay now.
Here we go.
It's a good end of that.
Right, he's about a yard and a half.
He's 2 yards onside. Oh, that's lovely!
Diving header.
That is the reaction to a replay.
I hate Robin van Persie, but that was
fucking brilliant.
The goalkeeper didn't even dive. It's a beautiful diving, looping diving.
It's
top
bin.
Over the top of the goalkeeper.
Right. And this is what I'm talking about. That is the reaction of a pub to a goal replay. I thought he's not done that. He's not done that thinking about it. You see the replay. He's done that.
It's now a good time to mention I'm an honorary Dutchman.
When a girl says no, when I ask them.
That was as good, I think. Beautiful goal, wasn't it? Volley was the hit of the volley after.
I know, we already.